Luke, the 16th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to begin reading at verse 19, and we'll read down through verse number 22. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today I want to thank you for this account in the Scripture, Lord, where you've talked to us about a man, Lord, a beggar, Lord, who died, and Lord, you took care of him and carried him, Father, into your presence. I'm grateful for that. And Father, we're also told in the portion of Scripture, we didn't read it all, but Lord, about a man who refused you and Lord, ended up in hell, being in torment for all eternity. Now today, I want your blessings. I ask you, God, to help me. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And Father, I ask you to use me this morning to be a blessing to this people through the preaching of God's Word. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning with God's help, which I have simply just entitled, Lazarus. Out of this portion of Scripture, usually we preach about the rich man. We will mention him. We'll spend just a little bit of time on him, but not a whole lot of time. But I want to preach this morning about a beggar named Lazarus. You know, when I go back to this story in the book of Luke, and we're going to talk about the rich man just for a few moments, as I have read the Scripture, I've always thought about this, and I think I've mentioned it before somewhere along the line, but it's been a long time ago. But when I come and mark the 10th chapter, in fact, I went back there and read that again just because it's interesting to me. You remember the story of the rich young ruler in the 10th chapter of Mark, and how he came to the Lord and how he knelt down and wanted to know what he could do to be saved and all that. And Jesus told him, go sell all that he had and give to the poor. Come and follow him. Take up his cross and follow him. And he said he went away sad. He was sorrowful because he had great riches. You remember that story. I've always wondered, there's no reason for me to say it is, but I've always wondered, is this rich man in this the same guy? Now, there's no reason in the Scriptures that says he is. So don't go home and say, Brother Ross said the guys is the same guy. But I've always wondered about that. Is this the rich young ruler grew up and getting ready to die? I don't know that it is, but I'm just saying we have an account here of a man who was very rich, who died also at the same time as Lazarus died. And of course, we know that he opened up his eyes in hell. I know also a little bit about this rich man, because he lived in a home where they did not teach him about God. Well, you say, Brother Ross, how do you know that? Well, because he had five brothers and he wanted somebody to go back and tell him. He knew there's nobody there to tell him. He grew up in a home where they've never taught about God. Well, that's sad. That's sad business. So I know that about him. In verse 27 it says, Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into a place of torment. You see, there wasn't nobody at his father's house to teach his brothers about God. So he said, send somebody. Send Lazarus. Send him back. Send him to tell him about God. So I know that the rich young ruler grew up in a home without God. I know that. I also know that he wanted somebody to go back and tell him. That's amazing. Even in hell, he didn't want his brothers to come there, you see. He knew for sure there wouldn't be anybody else there in the home tell him how to get saved. See, he knew that. And he didn't want them to come. So anyway, we're going to not spend so much time on him, but we're going to talk about Lazarus. First of all, I want to look at the condition of Lazarus. The word, the name Lazarus means God hath helped. God hath helped. That's what the name Lazarus means. God hath helped. And he certainly has helped this man. One of some of the points I just want to make is I want to talk about him and his condition. First of all, I want you to know he was a beggar. He was there, the Bible says in verse 20, that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You know, he was carried evidently everywhere he went. I don't know completely all of his physical condition, but the Bible says his body was full of sores. So he was laid, the Bible said, at the gate. I remember a time when my wife's mother could not get out of bed. I remember a time when she could not turn over in bed. I remember a time when she could not do anything by herself. My wife had to do everything for her. Every single thing that she did, she had to do for her. She had to clean her, take care of her, turn her over. She done everything for her. If she needed lifted out of bed, I had to lift her out of bed and move her to where she needed to be moved. I still remember very vividly, I may have told you this, but act like I didn't, over in the nursing home over at Sullivan, I remember very, very definitely about when she was over there for just a short time after she had that bad stroke, and they said, well, you can't take care of her, but anyway, Donna said, I can take care of it at home, and I went in. She'd every time we'd go in there, she'd say, Bob, you're big and strong, carry me out of here. Take me home with you. She'd always tell me that. You know, I said, Ruth, I can't. And so anyway, we come to a time when we decided to take her home. And so I didn't tell Ruth ahead of time. And I got it set up with the nursing home folk. And I said, can I just go in there and pick her up and carry her out? I said, sure. She'd been wanting me to do that for a long time. So we went in there together, and David had his van outside, and Brady had a mattress in it, you know, and I went in there and went into the room, and I said, Ruth, you've been asking me to pick you up and carry you out of here. Yeah, Bob, yeah. And I said, I'm going to do it. I just reached down and grabbed her and lifted her up, and her eyes got big, and you ought to have seen her going down the hallway of the nursing home. Her eyes were just going like this, going all over. You know, we just picked her up and carried her out of here because she couldn't walk. She couldn't go by herself. And we laid her in the van out there and got her home and took all the little things, you know, you carry with her. She had some things on her, you know, and things, and carried all that with her and took her home, took her in the house, carried her in the house, put her in bed. But I'm saying to you, Lazarus, if he was going to get anywhere, he had to be carried. Somebody laid him by the house of the rich man. I don't know who it was that laid him there. I don't know who it was whatsoever, the Bible doesn't say, but somebody laid him. I don't even know if he was laid there on a daily basis, or did he stay there all the time? Did somebody bring him and lay him and he just stayed there? I don't know the whole situation, because the Bible doesn't tell us. It's very possible he maybe was laid there every day. I don't really know. But he was unable, I know this, to earn bread. He was unable to go out and work. He was unable to take care of himself. He was a very sick man. In fact, the Bible says he was a man full of sores. I take for granted that that means that he had sores all over his body. But he also was a man who at one time was born as a little baby. You know, I think about that a lot. I don't, you know, I look at these little babies around here, and the newest one around here is Amelia, and you look at that little sweet little girl, you know, and Bud's got his chest out like this, you know, proud as can be, and he has every right to be, ought to be, you know, and that sweet little baby, and you think of that. But you know, Lazarus was a sweet little baby one time. I don't know a whole lot about Lazarus, but I'm sure there was a mommy and daddy very proud when Lazarus come into the world. Like I said, I don't know a whole lot about his childhood, but he grew up also. He was a little boy that run around town, I suppose, and threw rocks and took sticks and hit things with it and done all the little things that boys do. He was just a little boy one time, and grew up. He had a childhood, just like you and I did, or maybe how some of you are having now. He had a childhood. He was born a little baby. He grew up. Now, how long it had been since this man had ever slept in a clean bed, I have no idea. We take so much for granted. But I think about that a lot of times. I know I enjoy, I think you probably do too, but I sure enjoy going home and getting in a nice clean bed and enjoying just laying there and getting a good night's rest. Now, I don't know how long it had been since Lazarus had ever laid in a nice clean bed. Probably had been a long, long time. I don't know how long it had been since Lazarus had had a good warm meal. Now, most of us today will, somewhere along the line here after bed, depending when we get home, but somebody will sit down to a good meal. some dear lady is prepared for prepared it, and we'll sit down and we'll eat a nice meal, good warm meal, and we'll enjoy ourselves. In fact, we do that every day of our life. And Lazarus did not do that. Lazarus was hungry most of the time. You know, I guess he didn't have any friends that was willing anyway to provide for him. The Bible doesn't say it did. He laid there and he was begging for some crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Evidently, he didn't have any friends that was, that if he did have any friends, they certainly wasn't willing to take care of him and feed him. I don't know about his family. We're not told about his family. What about his family? Evidently, he had a family somewhere. Where was they at? I don't know. And the thing about it is, evidently, if he did have any family members, they wasn't willing to take care of him. Now, I don't know what his condition was, whether he would, whether he was from another town, whether he didn't have any family in that area, whether he didn't have any close friends. All I know is no one took care of him. That was his condition. How long it had been since someone came up to Lazarus and put his arm around him and gave him a hug, I don't know. But I have a feeling the man there with a foot of sores, it had been a long time since someone walked up to him and put his arm around him and said, Lazarus, I love you, and give him a hug. I remember Ann Phillips. Some of you remember Ann Phillips. Used to attend here some. She cares for elderly people, goes into the home and cares for elderly people. But I remember the time she told a story, and I have never forgotten that story. She told a story about she was caring for this older lady, and the daughter would come in and out. The daughter to this lady would come in and out, and she was up there a few years too, and she'd come in and out, you know, and see her and all of that, and talk to her a little bit, and out she'd go and all these things. And said, Ann said one day, she said to her mother, that lady, the mother to the daughter, said to her, daughter, you know, it just seems like to me that it'd be sometimes you'd just come over here and hug me. I never forgot Ann saying that. You know, sometimes folk just need a hug. I'm talking about ladies. Hey, do you know, and I see you ladies doing that from time to time, and that's perfectly all right, but do you know what? Sometimes people just need a hug. Lazarus probably hadn't had a hug in a long time. Can I just say this? Hug your kids. Just hug them. Even if they're embarrassed, just hug them anyway. Amen. I remember so well when our boys got a little older, and Donna would try to hug them and kiss them. And, oh, mom, you know, they said, you know, I'm getting too old for that stuff, you know. But they loved it. Yeah, they did. They loved it. But, you know, they'd get all embarrassed because mom was putting her arm around them, giving a hug, giving a kiss, and they'd get all embarrassed. But you know what? You just need a hug. And I don't know how long it'd been since Lazarus had ever had a hug. I don't know how long it'd been since Lazarus had ever had anybody say to him, I love you. Maybe there wasn't anybody really who did love him. But I want to tell you something. Isn't it nice to have someone say, I love you? Pretty good stuff, isn't it? But I don't know how long it'd been since Lazarus had heard that. I have a feeling it had been a long time. So his condition was pretty terrible as far as the physical condition. We'll talk about some other things, but physical condition was pretty terrible that he was living in. Then I want to look at his desires for just a few moments. The Bible says in verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. I can't really imagine how Lazarus was dressed. I don't know how he was dressed, but I can give a little imagination to it, I guess, and say more than likely he had just on some rags. More than likely. I'm sure of one thing, that he was opposite of the rich man. The Bible says in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I have a feeling he was absolutely opposite of that. I think more than likely he was just dressed in some rags. I'm sure he didn't have a closet where he could go through and say, what suit am I going to wear down to the rich man's house today? I'm sure he didn't probably have any fancy hats to put on to keep the sun off of his head. I'm quite sure of that. I'm sure he didn't have any designer jeans or Reebok shoes. Do you young people hear me? You don't need Reebok shoes. Walmarts will do just as well. I buy Walmart tennis shoes for $8. When they go, I throw them away and get me another one. And they last about as long as I think Reeboks would. But you didn't see Lazarus worrying about all the fancy clothes. He wasn't concerned about that. And in fact, when it come to a meal, he wasn't too concerned about eating steak. Now, Don and I'll just confess, once in a while we do eat steak. We had butchered a cow last year, and just the other day I said, honey, I'll go out and we'll get a couple steaks out and I'll put them on the grill. Does that sound good? And we did that. And boy, we enjoyed those. Now, these were a little smaller steaks than most folks, because Blackie was not a very big cow. Yeah, I'll tell you that story someday, but... But anyway, he didn't grow like he... Now, he got hefty, got a little meat, but he didn't get only about that. And I decided I was going to break myself feeding him, so I sent him in and butchered him. But his steaks was good. And they was good. His meat was good. But anyway, we had a steak the other day. I don't think Lazarus even gave one thought to having a steak. He wasn't much interested in that. I don't think he ever called up and ordered a loaded pizza. No. Lazarus wasn't too much interested. And see, I'm telling on us again, because Donna told me last night, she said, I'm going to put on a roast and some potatoes today. Does everybody like roasted potatoes and carrots? Let's just go home. But anyway, we like roast and potatoes and carrots, and we like all those things. And but Lazarus probably had never had a meal like that in I don't know how many years. He wasn't too concerned about dessert. He wasn't concerned whether there was pie or cake or ice cream. In fact, Lazarus wasn't even concerned about leftovers. Sometimes we gripe about leftovers. Lazarus wasn't even concerned about leftovers. Lazarus was not even concerned about scraps that is raked up on plates and thrown out. The only thing Lazarus asked for was some crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. That's all he asked for. His desires wasn't great. All he wanted was something to put in his stomach so he could eat something. Even some crumbs, he said, would be just fine. I remember back when I was growing up, and as we came out of a family of nine. There was nine children and mom and dad. Now, the one child died, I think it was in 3 days after it was born, but there was nine of us all together, but eight of us lived up through that time. And I remember sitting at a table and mom fixing food, and some of you that's older, you remember those days, and you remember it wasn't always easy to obtain everything that you maybe needed, but you did have food. But I remember my daddy sitting there, and mom would fix because we had chickens, and we'd just go out and kill a chicken. We had eggs because we went out and hunted the eggs, got them, you know, and all those things. We grew some things on that little place of ours out there, and dad always see to it we had some kind of food. But I always thought it interesting because my dad, when we would fix chicken, my dad would take, and some of you is going to not hardly believe this, but my dad would take the feet. Now, some of you have never seen a chicken's feet cooked, let alone eaten it. But we cooked everything. My dad would take the feet. He would take the neck. Did you ever eat a chicken's neck? It's got a lot of little meat in it, but it's all in between all those little bones. He would take the neck, and if there was ever anything left over, he would take the back piece. And we got the rest of it. My dad gnawed on those things and let us have the chicken. You know why? There wasn't enough to go around if he didn't. And he was satisfied in doing that. In fact, he got where he liked it. But what I'm saying to you is, Lazarus didn't even ask for a neck of a chicken. Lazarus didn't even ask for a chicken's feet. He said, all I would like to have is some crumbs that falls from the rich man's table. I want to look in verse 21 a little bit about his comfort. I would suppose, according to the scripture here, we know that a dog licked his sores. I would suppose there was probably never anyone, or at least for a long, long time, that ever came with a pan and water and sat down by Lazarus and washed his sores. No, a dog licked him. So he didn't have a whole lot of earthly comfort. But let me tell you something about Lazarus. He was a believer. You see, for some reason, and I think we're all guilty of it, for some reason we think because we're believers, we ought to have all there is as far as what the world has to offer too. But if you'll notice, Lazarus was not too concerned about that. He just wanted enough to sustain life. And there wasn't anybody to come who cared enough about him to come and take a pan of water and wash his sores. No, it was a dog that came and licked his sores. Now, I look back and I know that he was a believer because of what the scripture says. In verse 22, he says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." I know that Lazarus was a saved man because when he died, he went to heaven. I know that according to the scriptures. I do not know when he got saved. I don't know whether he lived in a family that mom and dad had taught him about the Lord and told him that there was a coming Messiah going to come, and he believed that and trusted that. I don't know whether he got saved when he was a young man or he didn't get saved when he was a young man. I don't know these things. Or maybe, possibly, he got saved maybe sitting out there in front of the rich man's house. Maybe there was a soul winner come along. They told him how to be saved. I really do not know when he got saved, but I know he got saved. Because when he died, he went to heaven. Now, folks, the rich man, you look at the rich man and you say, well, he went to hell. Yes, he did. But he didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he did not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that he might be saved. That's why the rich man went to hell. The reason Lazarus went to heaven is because he believed. He trusted God and put his faith in God Almighty. That's why he went to heaven. I don't know when all of that happened. Hopefully he got saved when he was a young man. I don't know. But I think there's a probably good chance maybe he didn't. There's a good probably chance he got saved later in life. Maybe he got saved after he got all these problems and complications in his life. The troubles happened in his life and the sores came and all the problems and troubles came in his life. Maybe it was after that that someone cared enough for him to simply tell him that he needed God in his life and he accepted God in his life. I don't know when he got saved, but I do know this, he got saved. Because the Bible teaches us that in verse 22, that when he died, he was carried into Abraham's bosom. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. He was a saved man. And yet, look at his earthly conditions. See, the Bible tells us over in Revelation, the 14th chapter, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed he. It didn't say he is always die in a good condition, but he's blessed when he dies. See, we're living in America. America where we think we have to have every single thing there is to have to be happy. And I want to say something, when it comes down to the final thing, the final release, the main thing about Lazarus is he was saved. And that's what mattered, you see. That old body of his had him in captivity, let me assure you. That's not you I see out there, that's that body that you're walking around in. You're inside it, and that old body had him in captivity. He couldn't do very much. Again, going back to Donna's mother, I still remember times when she got really bad where she couldn't do much, but she sure talked like she would like to. She remembered going mushroom hunting. In fact, right before she had the stroke, the one first stroke, she went out mushroom hunting. She loved the mushroom hunt. And she'd talk about that and couldn't do it. She's locked up in that old body. She talked about all the good foods that she liked to eat and all of those things and got down to the place for a long, long time before she passed away that my wife had to take everything that she eat and pureed it in a blender and take one of those syringes and suck it up into that syringe and feed her through her mouth blended food. Because that's all she could eat. She couldn't chew anything. there came a day when that ended. There came a day when God took the breath from her and she went on to be with the Lord. And let me say to you, folks, all of those other things don't mean a thing now except for memories. And my wife, I know, thinks about them and all these things, but they don't mean anything to Ruth today. It doesn't matter. And let me tell you something, all the things that happened to Lazarus in his life and the condition he was in don't mean a thing to Lazarus. 1 second after he died, it didn't mean a thing to him. Because God took him. Took him home with him, and he would never have to suffer these things ever again. No, now he would never see another tear. No, now he would never suffer any sorrow. No, now he wouldn't be crying. No, now he'd never have the pain of those sores on his body. And now he would never have to face death again. You see, all of the conditions of the human body, and sometimes they can be terrible. But the main thing, when it comes down to the very main thing, is, are you a child of God? I really do. I think about this sometimes, and honestly, I do. I think in America, it is so sad. Our young people grow up in too much prosperity, and it grieves me. I know how I grew up, and I'm not saying I grew up tough. I think there's people in this room probably had it tougher than I did. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's better to grow up tough than it is to grow up within prosperity. You got more to you. When you grow up in prosperity, you expect all of those things. And I don't know what's going to happen one of these days when the bottom falls out. I don't know what's going to happen to God's people one of these days, but it scares me to death because I don't think they're going to be able to make it. I don't really believe they are because they're too used to everything. Got everything they want and need and want. I'm just simply saying, folks, it'd be a little bit better if some of our children didn't have so much. So when he was released, God released him, and the Bible says that angels came and carried him. You know, I was thinking that's the greatest mode of transportation there is. Don't worry, Lazarus, when you die, you don't worry about it. There's some angels hovering around you, ready to transport you on into a very special place that God has got prepared for you. Oh, that's okay, rich man. You go ahead. You get in that luxurious horse-drawn whatever they call it, carriage. That's good. Thank you. You go ahead and get in that, and there's your old fancy coffin and all of those things, and you've had it rich. You've had it well all of your life. Go ahead and get in there because, you know what? That's all you're going to get. Let all the people get up and talk nice about you and tell how wonderful you are and all of those things, which was a bunch of lies anyway. But you go ahead and you tell them and hear all of those things. I think I'll just head off to heaven in an angel's arms. You see, the thing about this, folks, what we've got to get our mind on is this. It's not what you have that matters. I'm talking about material. It's what you have in Christ that matters. Sitting here today, you're the richest person upon the face of the earth if you are saved and ready for heaven. You are rich, and so am I. Greatest riches that a man can have is to be ready to meet his God. There's nothing like the eternal bliss and the eternal place that God has prepared for us. Folks, there is nothing like it on this earth, and there never will be. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you, you know, don't worry about all these little things and material things. Don't let them fret you. Remember this, there's coming a day when you're going to die. Yes, you're going to die, and you're going to go in the very presence of God Almighty forevermore. And there'll be a comfort there like you've never had before. Jesus said, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." There's no rest like the rest that Jesus Christ gives. I remember over in John, the 5th chapter, there was a man who had infirmity. For 38 years he had infirmity till Jesus came along and healed him and took care of him. You see, I know according to the scripture, there was a leper. We talked a little bit in our Sunday school about it, but there was a leper who came and knelt down before the Lord Jesus Christ and simply said, "If thou canst, thou can make me clean." Here he is, a horrible-looking leper, a terrible, terrible condition, flesh eating away, and Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, "I will be thou clean." He had compassion on him and healed him. What I'm saying to you, if you need compassion, the place you're going to get real compassion is in Jesus. I understand we need to be compassionate. I understand that you need compassion from those around you. But I want to tell you, if you lack compassion, remember the greatest one can ever give you the greatest compassion is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lazarus didn't have a lot of that when he was here on this earth. And let me say this to you. There are some people who don't have a lot of earthly love. There's some people who just do not have it. They just don't get it. They don't have people who give them that love. But if you know Jesus, there'll be a day when you'll have the greatest comfort, the greatest love that you'll ever, ever want throughout all the ages of eternity. He finally had someone to say, "I care about you." He finally had someone to say, "I love you." You know, Lazarus, you don't have those sores anymore, but I loved you even when you did have those sores. You may not be the most prettiest person in the world, the most handsome person in the world, but I want you to know Jesus loves you. You may have a lot of troubles in your life and trials and all kinds of things, but I want you to know Jesus loves you with a love that is above any love there has ever been. You've got to get a hold of that, folks, or it'll just drive you crazy down on this earth. There's too many things to hurt down here. But you remember how much Jesus loves you. What a wonderful thing this must have been for Lazarus. Going from the presence of this terrible earth, as the Bible even said, in his days he had evil. He had evil things. Yes, he had a lot of evil things, but you know what? Go from the presence of that into the presence of God. Now, just real quickly, there was no comfort whatsoever for the rich man. The Bible says in verse number 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." I want you to notice there was absolutely no torment, no comfort whatsoever for the rich man. Now, folks, listen to me just a moment. In a crowd this big, I don't know. You know, I know I can't look into hearts. Pastor Ross is not trying to look into hearts. But I know we're living in a time when there's people who plays at religion. And they're not really saved. Now, you may not be one of those, but I just want to say to you something. You better be sure you're saved. You open up your eyes in hell, you wish you got saved. And what I'm saying to you is this. You know what? You can know it. You can put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You can know for sure when you walk from this place this morning that you're God's child. And when you die, you're going to be carried into the presence of God. And you're going to spend an eternity with him. You're not going to be carried or open up your eyes in hell because you wasn't saved. You need to know you're saved. Are you born again? Are you God's child? And if so, thank God for it and know that there's coming a day you'll go into the very presence of God because of Jesus Christ, your wonderful Lord. Now, what I want you to do is search your hearts. I want you to ask yourself, am I saved? Am I born again? Do I know if I died right today, do I know for sure, 100% sure, that I'd go to heaven? Do you know that? If not, this would be a wonderful time, wonderful day to just get yourself ready to meet God. I don't know when Lazarus got saved, but I know he did. See, I don't know when you got saved, or maybe you think you got saved. If you don't have this peace of God that you're saved, why don't you just seal that this morning? Just come and say, "I'm going to put that thing behind me. I'm just going to say, this is the day I'm going to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to settle that thing. I'm going to want to know for sure when I die, I'll open up my eyes in heaven and not in hell." Amen. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes, please. Right before I pray, I just want to ask you a question. You say, "Brother Ross." Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to listen to me. Think about this. Say, "Brother Ross, I know for sure. I'm not playing games. I mean deep down in my heart. I know for sure that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know I'm saved. I know if I die, I go to heaven. Now, no playing games. You know that in your heart. You have that assurance in your heart. Would you just raise your hand, please? Thank you very much. Put your hands down, please. Say, Brother Ross, I could not raise my hand. I am just not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want you to know that God loves you very much. He wants you to be ready. You say, Brother Ross, I just need you to pray for me. I'm not sure if I died. I'm just not sure I'd be ready for heaven. Would you just please raise your hand, please? Please raise your hand. Put it right back down. Anyone, please? Heavenly Father, thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God, for your goodness, for your kindness to us. And Father, thank you for the example Lazarus set for us. Wasn't too concerned about the things of this earth, Lord. He was just happy. Lord, when he died, he was with you. And we're grateful for that. And thank you for the promise we have of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.